It is awesome to be back. Actually, it's awesome to be anywhere. You just tuned in to Set for Success with your host, me, Richard Lannan. We're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, career, or life. And we're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes, to help you create your success story and ultimately create a positive business community. It's that Set for Success quote time. Exploration is the engine that drives innovation. Innovation drives economic growth. So let's all go exploring. That was done by or said by Edith Wilder. I always thought that a very interesting quote. Whenever I go in business these days and talk to business leaders, they're all saying that they need to be more innovative and disruptive. Great. So what do you mean by being inventive? And what are you doing to be innovative? So I sort of often have a long pause when I ask that question, and I'm not sure, they always know exactly what it means to be creative process or being innovative or going exploring and figuring new things out. Given the rush of our business world today, and when I say the rush of our business world, I mean how crazy and busy people are. Do this, do that, what the approach is. And maybe there isn't just enough time to be innovative, but yet we're being asked to be innovative. A willingness to explore that world around you might just fuel innovation, just like the quote says. So I decided to seek out somebody who knows a bit more about the topic than I do. Aruba Tesselin is joining me today, and I'm going to say that she's an innovative expert, but maybe she actually has another term for it. Aruba, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard. I'm glad to be here. Yeah. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
I hope you are. I'm looking forward to it, too. I mean, I've been seeing some of the stuff, and most of my listeners know that I get my guests sort of from online now. I monitor LinkedIn, I monitor Facebook, I monitor Twitter and that, and I see interesting things come up, and you've been posting some interesting items around the whole word of innovation. Yes, you have. Mike, so out of curiosity, I think I'll start off with this question. This is usually the same question I start off with all my shows, is let's get to know a little bit about the person that I'm meeting with. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I come from kind of a management background in terms of my professional career, but I've always been a lifelong serial creator.
Serial creator. I love it. A serial creator. What's a serial creator?
This is something I tried to ask myself like last year, like, who am I? And from the time I was a small child, I've been always interested in creating things. And very much of that was conceptual. In other people's terms, I'm probably a visionary. I've always had a really acute interest and a capacity for intuition and imagination, and this has been with me all my life. So when we talk about the context of innovation, it's really coming from someone who's been connected with that and seen all sorts of things that, like, I see things that aren't, and I think, wow, they should be.
Okay,
so that's the angle that I come to it from.
So really a creative type of individual. Tell us a little bit about your history. I mean, I'd like to know a little bit about your personal life. Where do you presently dwell, and where you're from? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes, I live in the Greater Toronto Area, where I have been for over 30 years now. I was born originally in Windsor, Ontario, and I have two beautiful daughters who are both, I'm now a postgraduate mom.
Okay, okay.
And they're both successfully on their own. And so my life has been kind of a juggling act of raising my daughter, my youngest daughter, and then running a couple of businesses in the area of training and development, and I'm focused on one, an innovative methodology for helping people perform sooner, and the other is the inside of innovation. So not the traditional things that you see in innovation.
Okay. So before we actually start to go off into innovation and talking a bit about that, I guess it's always really important to define our terms. And one of the things, and just before we actually got started, I mentioned to you, like, there's some things that just drive me nuts in business. And one of the things is how words get overused. Innovation, disruption are really big today. A while ago, and still to a certain degree, change and transformation. You know, there's different things. So what exactly is innovation? Like, what? How do we define innovation?
I would define it as you're sitting in a room, or you're somewhere and you see something and you say, "I have an idea," and then you start to get a little bit excited about it. And you may or may not be in a situation where you can do something about that. But to me, innovation is that original spark that connects with you and says, wait, there's something happening here. Something is exciting, something new. That to me is where innovation really sits. Not so much in sort of the cloud-based thinking of innovation in organizations, which I find is often boring.
What do you mean by cloud-based thinking of organizations? That's like an interesting term.
Well, I mean, there's so many organizations looking to do process innovation, process transformation, and things like that, and articulated in terms of some cloud-based application where they're forwarding ideas and managing roadmaps and all of that paraphernalia. That to me, this is management. You know, once an innovation is, once you have a new something, whether that's a product or a service innovation of some kind, then it becomes part of the organization's lexicon of this is the work we do, and the rest is management. And I think we really need to get back into the space of creative ideas and nurturing creative people and finding out inside of us, where does innovation actually happen? I mean, where does that engagement happen? How does it happen? And how do we get more of it, if we want to get more of it, or how do we encourage it?
Yeah, it's interesting you would say that. There's one of my favorite videos is from the late 90s, I'm going to say. It's called A Deep Dive. And it's about the design world and a new approach to actually creating ideas and solving problems. And if you look at it, it really is about the team doing it, but not about management having the best idea and being innovative. It could be like the frontline staff or the person shopping at a grocery store, you know, and I'm wondering if that's sort of what you're referencing.
Yes, that and a whole lot of understanding. I don't think we really have a handle on the innovation process in terms of our personal creativity and where it begins.
Within organizations.
Where it begins, it doesn't necessarily start in an organization. It starts long before that.
So maybe what we'll do is we'll take a short break and we'll come back and see if we can answer the question, where does innovation start? This is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, and I'm hanging out with Ubra Tesla. We're hanging out talking about the whole concept of innovation and that. And just before the break, we were just asked the question, where does innovation actually start? So what are your thoughts on where innovation starts?
Well, it doesn't start from a thought. That's the one thing. And I'm really glad you upgraded me to Tesla.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I did say Tesla, didn't I? I apologize.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But yeah. Anyway, yeah. So innovation starts really, it's a feeling. All artists know that. All creative people and creators know that. And I think we give ourselves migraines in innovation by trying to get things started in our head, make things happen with a thought, because that's not where it goes. Innovation is some kind of expanded feeling. It's like imagination connects with us, or we see something that we haven't done before, and we get this urge, and it's a very heart-based thing. If you really, really look at successful innovation, it's a heart-based experience. And you start there because that's where you get the motivation to actually begin. And I'm very much interested in developing skilled hearts, developing people who have the capacity to feel and sense when an innovation strikes them or when an intuition strikes them. And that creates some kind of expansion in terms of, oh, I think I might be mobilized or motivated to want to take an action on this, because without action, innovation is just another idea coming into your realm of awareness. So motivation and action is the next part of it, because without that, nothing happens.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's often said, or I've heard this quote many times, everybody has a $1 million idea. Right? And we probably have many $1 million ideas, but the thing we don't do is we don't take action on those ideas. In other words, it's a floating, exactly. it's a floating moment. I know that when we were talking a little bit earlier on, we were talking a bit about, you know, what is an innovation problem or innovative problem? What would you say is an innovation problem?
Well, the big problem with innovation in general in a lot of organizations and businesses is that businesses exist when they become a certain size, or when you get your formula right, you're always trying to sort of maximize profit and streamline, make things leaner, try and minimize certain other things, get things out of the way. I mean, that's really what management is all about. But when you want to be innovative and have innovation, you've got to open the wallet. You have to open the mind. You have to open the pocketbook. You have to open the capacity of people. So it's a different kind of a paradigm shift. It's a different kind of a transformation. And that's really the innovation problem, because organizations, the leaner they get, the less able they are in terms of acting on innovation, because they don't have the resources, they don't have the mental capacity. A lot of companies run a little bit too lean, and you kind of, if you look at Google and you look at a lot of the IT startups and things like that, look at their workspaces and how they work. I mean, they want people to have coffee. They want people to kind of go outside and expand their thinking. You don't have that in a lot of organizations. And if you really want to talk innovation, you have to start creating these spaces, spaces for stillness, spaces for reflection, or bringing in the kind of people that have lifestyles that are have room for developing creativity.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually, because how many times, and I think I started this off in my monologue, I was talking about rushing through business, that we're so busy all the time. How do you become innovative when you're so busy?
That's a problem, because what happens when you're busy is your head is in a million places and you're not really focused on presence, what's happening now. And in order to catch a lot of these ideas or the right one, you have to be here. You have to be in one place. And the thing is, I wrote this today because I get a lot of inspirations and then I tweet them or something. And it's like, intellect doesn't make you happy, but it can make you complicit, usually for someone else's reasons or goals. And to me, that's why it's important to develop a skilled heart, because when you develop a skilled heart, then you know what your purpose is. You know what innovations you want to create, because they all come out of that, having that expanded capacity. So I guess the thing is, to solve the innovation problem, how do we make room for expanded capacity?
Yeah.
How do we build the kind of organizations that invite people to innovate as co-conspirators, as partners, not as employees? As long as you have that differential between subordinate and what's above that, you're not really going to have the paradigm where people come together and want to create things, because that's collaborative. That's beyond the norm of collaborative that we have today in Canada.
Yeah, it's interesting you would say that, because so it sounds to me like you and I are speaking some of the same talk, and when we do things, I'm big into collaborative spaces and collaborative teams, and I made reference to a documentary called The Deep Dive, and one of the things that the president of the company says is that He talks about where ideas come from. He says, you know, what do I care about management structure? And this is the owner of the company. This is, what do I care about management structure? You know, like I have a big stick and I can run things. Like, really, who cares? Ideas come from people. And I prefer to create spaces where people can actually think and innovate. And it sounds to me that's what really you're talking about.
Yeah, most people had their biggest innovations in the shower.
right? Yeah, when they're thinking about things, right? And they have that moments of creativity. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on innovation. I would like to find out a distinction between innovation and transformation. I think that's also a big one. So we're going to hit some big words that are used in business often. You might hear them in a small business, a mid-range business, or a large business. This is Richard for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello everyone, welcome back. I am hanging out with an innovative person, a creative person. Tesselin is their last name. Aruba is their first name. Hopefully I got that correct for you. We've been talking a bit about innovation. Now, just before the break, I asked, what was the difference between transformation and innovation? Because those are two big words that always show up in the business vocabulary.
Yeah, transformation is a really big one, and really, in order to create, we need to transform individually. We need to be walking a path where transformation is different than change.
Yeah.
When we transform, is that we are shifting a lot of things from inside of us. Our beliefs change. Our beliefs about what we can do change. Our beliefs about what we can achieve change. So being in that transformation mindset means that we're willing to work with ourselves and shift and change as we learn things about what we're doing and what we're creating and make the changes we need to make to be able to create these things.
Now, is that the same thing? Like, you make a lot of reference to individual. When you're saying individual, are you also thinking in terms of teams and in terms of organizations also?
Well, yes, because a lot of the kinds of training that I do with Intuita is focused at changing the individual, because no matter what, all of the ideas do come from people. And if we really want to get inside innovation, if you want to get inside transformation, you have to be able to help provide the environment that encourages people to grow and how to grow. If you're not helping them to manage their mind, if you're not helping them to be who they are, which is a big one, because the modern workplace is really going to have to invite a lot of people to be more than they were on the job, or the job will change, or the organization will change. So transformation is really being in a state of awareness where we are watching what's happening with us, and we're learning and we're changing, because our beliefs are going to change as we go along the path to making things.
Making things, yeah. And actually, that's an interesting skill or an interesting idea, because really we often can use the term lifelong learner. And really, if you're learning all your life, you're going to change. That's the part and parcel. It sounds to me, though, too, you almost have a little bit of EQ stuff happening in there. Emotional quotient. If I use that term, you're okay with that? You understand?
Oh, yes. Emotional intelligence is a huge one.
Is a huge.
That's sort of our inner workings, where our feelings connect with our thoughts, and our awareness of ourselves is whether we're present or not, and how we're interacting with people. That's all EQ. And they're all related, because if you don't have emotional intelligence, you're not going to have the ability to transform. So yes, they're really
connected. All connected. Yeah. So it's interesting. We're sort of creating this whole connectivity in terms of connecting some of these things together. Because a lot of organizations right now, and this has been going on for a while. I mean, I was introduced to all the EQ stuff and everything over 20 years ago. But I do know there are a number of organizations starting to use that stuff now, and it's new to them. It's like, this is something that's brand new, and they're introducing to their environments. Are you seeing that quite a bit when you're dealing with innovation? Or
from this is a really, you know, things like mindfulness and awareness and the kinds of the kinds of inner development are really popular right now. And the reason for that is a lot of companies have been thinking organizations. They have not been feeling organizations, because a lot of the models in HR and all of that, they come from 1960s behavioralism. In other words, we can't teach people, we can't tell people what to think, but we can certainly control their behavior. And that's been sort of the dominant theme in organizations. But if we're living in a creative age and in an age of innovation, which we are, look at all the learning we have immediately at our disposal, we have to become more of a whole organization or a whole business. We have to be thinking and feeling in order to allow this change to happen, where people are thinking, feeling whole people. We have to make changes to the way we conceive of businesses and organizations. They're all creative. I mean, if you are an entrepreneur,
yeah, it's very creative.
The reason you are creating a something, your business is your creation.
Yeah, and then do you standardize and try to control it? It's interesting you would say that about being a learning organization or a creating organization, or the changes that are taking place. Do you see that it's being driven a bit more by generational changes? Any chance?
Yes, I think the younger generations are way more open. Not that the sort of the baby boom generation weren't. It's just that they had to kind of fall in line with what was available to them, because I think a lot of them were very open anyway.
When they were younger, yeah.
Yes, but the younger people are certainly driving a more whole agenda, because that's the kind of lives that they're leading, and they're not. They're really not just going to sign up for any old job. A lot of them are going to go straight to building their businesses, because when they look at the landscape, they can invent something or create something that's going to bring them some revenue. And if they do it in a recurring way, well, there's a salary for them. So organizations now are going to have to compete and make it interesting to be there.
Yeah, it's interesting you would actually say this. And I was working with a group of international clients yesterday, and one of the assignments I gave them to do was to actually define a shared economy and a gig economy and the impact that it would actually have into their business environment and impact and consequences. And then we did some international business stuff. And it was actually quite fascinating to see, because I forced them to rethink or relook at things outside of themselves that you know, being a traditional type business, they've never thought about before, you know, and I think out of that you start to get maybe some innovative thinking.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, those traditional roles, we have to definitely evolve from those, and in order to culture and mindset are two big drivers of both innovation and transformation. So these are the things, the underpinnings, I think, that the large organizations are doing a lot of work on right now.
All the mindset. I know in your notes, you and I have chatted a little bit, and you've talked a little bit about deep cognition skills. Did I get that right? Is that what we're talking about right now?
Yes, yes. Deep cognition skills are really looking at, I teach a program in deep cognition, part of our deep innovation program. So one part is deep cognition, and we go into the inside of things like intuition, making sure you can hear it, you can trust it, because that's how imagination shows up, and that's how we get feedback. Also, in terms of being present and mindful and self-aware, but paying a lot more attention to what's going on at an inner level. So we bring people in, we teach them how to get insight, because when we, in this deep cognition, to me, this is the gorilla in the innovation room. We have all this evolution in terms of, you know, the tech and AI, artificial intelligence and drones and all of this future that's sort of being cosmically created or perpetrated by, you know, the VC Silicon Valley technology world. And yet we have not evolved the cognitive capabilities to make sure that we can actually use these things in the best way for the benefits of mankind. So deep cognition is the thing, the railroad that we have to cross in order to make sure that we can we can actually get to that next level, because there are a lot of questions. There are moral questions, there are ethical questions, there are cultural issues, there are inclusion issues, and only by expanding ourselves, by deepening our awareness, by being more whole, being more present, this is really, this deep cognition, this is the bridge between this world and the next world and what's possible.
All right. I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation about the impact of innovation, what you need to do about it. This is Richard for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. And yes, you're hanging out with Richard Lanham for Set for Success. And we've been talking with Rupa regarding innovation, transformation, cognition, I guess, or cognitive thinking, everything from emotional intelligence and how it's all connected with an organization. I know these are a lot of big words, but even the small business or a mid-sized business or large organizations have to deal with all these issues, especially in a world that's gotten so fast-paced and we're asked to be maybe a bit more leaner and doing things, but yet we have to be innovative, creative, and move things forward. We were joking around, Rupa, at the break around, you know, what are the things that we need to talk about? And you jokingly said back to me about the, not the thing, but the ting, T-I-N-G. So I sort of caught me off guard. What do you mean? What's the ting, T-I-N-G? What is that?
What's a ting?
What's a ting?
I recently wrote a book called Ting.
Oh, okay.
And it's The Surprising Power of Intuition to Transform Work and Innovate.
Okay, and so hold on. Let's back up. So okay. It's an acronym, right? Is that what it is? A surprising?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not an acronym. It's a word.
It's a word. Okay.
It's a word.
Okay.
And what the word means is when you get struck by an intuition, when an open person gets struck by the sense of having an intuition, what do you call that thing? We didn't have a word for it. They called it a ting. You just got a ting.
You just got a ting. Oh,
something,
yeah.
Just showed up. Oh, wait, I'm going to notice it now because I know this is something different. I just got a ting. Let me see what it is.
What it is. Pretty clever. That's like when your smartphone just sort of buzzes or you set up like a sound. And I think there is a sound called ting. So, you know, you can check it out and see. Everybody's going
to
be looking it up on the internet
now.
Yeah. So you wrote a book regarding call this. And so tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, ting is a story. And it's funny because I had an agent in New York who wanted me to write it, like this super journalistic Malcolm Gladwell book about intuition in business. And I'm just not Malcolm. I don't work that way. And then while I was trying to write this very serious journalistic approach, all of a sudden the character appeared to me and started basically talking to me in terms of my imagination going into that. And I started writing. And what happened was Ting, the book. It kind of wrote itself. And it's about a person named Tony, who is a sales rep for a company, and he is sort of going through, he's disconnected. He's like many people today are lost in their work, lost in their life, and he's just kind of going through the motions, but he's a successful guy. He's used to being successful, and he just going through the motions. So he ends up finding this special mentor named Carmela, and she starts teaching him, helping him to learn more about his intuition. And what goes on in the book, he ends up taking an intuition, something that he dreamed about, and turning it into a product. So it actually is a path from intuition to innovation. And the book shows his progress, how he works for it. It's also a course. So people who are reading the book can actually see what's happening and relate to it and start developing intuition themselves. It's a really big, it really leverages a lot of other things in creativity.
Awesome. You know what? It sounds actually quite interesting. I like the idea that you have a character by the name of Tony that has this sort of life experience, you know, as opposed to reading another technical textbook type of book in itself. I think we're often looking for stories that we can actually relate to and understand. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they could go to my website, Intuita, intuita.com, And there's a form, a contact form on the website. All our workshops, training, and the access to the book are there. The book's on Amazon if you want to pick it up. But that's the easiest way to contact me.
All right. I got a couple of questions for you. And I like to do this. I like to call it the Set for Success Hot Seat. And maybe I'll change the name at some point in time. But maybe I should get like a big entrance for it, the Set for Success Hot Seat. I'm just curious if on a very personal level, what is something that you want to achieve?
That I want to achieve?
Yes.
Wow. Well, the interesting thing is I'm kind of achieving a lot of the things
okay.
that I want to achieve. Redeveloping King was a big one. Achievements change. I'm developing a couple different businesses. One is Intuita, the other is Velocified. So a lot of things are actually in process. Probably for me, what I want to achieve is really things that are happening outside of the business in terms of having a more postgraduate mom lifestyle and working with that. So I'm doing some things in that area too.
A postgraduate mom lifestyle. I sort of like that. So the kids are gone and they're finished school and suddenly, hey, I can do other things. And so
exactly. And what do I want? I mean, this is big for me too. I mean, figuring out going from all the obligation of raising a family and everything else. Okay, so who am I? What do I want? And I'm sure I'm not alone in asking this question. And the more clear I get in what I want, the more happier I get. So,
yeah, that makes a lot. That makes a lot of sense, actually. If there's something you could eliminate in the world, what would it be?
Self-interested male leadership.
Self-interested male leadership. Okay, explain a little bit more.
In terms of, there are three people I can think of right off the top of my head.
Oh, well, let's be careful.
They all run a major nation, so I'm not even going to go there.
No, please don't.
But we all know what they are.
Yeah. So okay.
Yeah. I'd say you know the big thing is really in we're creating a future here for everybody. And inclusion is such a big one that the vision of a future should be the future for all individuals, that we are all innovating here together, and we all want to have some impact on that. So it's not that it should not be led by a small group. It should be led by all of us. And the only solution to that is for all of us to transform and actively begin to create.
Wow. Very insightful. Very insightful. What a show we've been having. I mean, you're awesome guests. You're obviously specialized in the whole area of innovation and being a consultant and trainer, in that particular space. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what might that be?
I would say take the time to get familiar with what's inside of you. Take the time to meditate to start, because it's just the power of that is so immense. It leverages a lot of things. It will tell you who you are. Once you know who you are, you can make your path. And the world now is open for all people to be creative. I think I'm an artist, and I would encourage you to find out what your art is too.
All right. I think that's actually a great thought. I want to take this opportunity for thank you for joining me on the show. Great insights into the whole area of innovation. I really want to thank you for sharing the thing. I like the idea that, suddenly something pops in your mind, an idea, and if you go with it and innovate and then actually implement, there's a lot of success that can actually happen for you in the world around you. Also, guests, thank you for tuning in. It's always appreciated when you tune into the show. And of course, if you have a question for me, an idea for a show, or a comment, you can email me at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And I do have something I'd like you to remember: to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.